ask that you will need answers on these matters. It's not like Mrs. Your surname is always very difficult for me. I always call her Mrs. Dunk, but Dunkely. She's always there. We I know she can present it. She does very well in presentations and everything. But bamnike emsileni abantu besikade besizanayo le relay xa ingathi iyaxaka le relay ngoku bafuna ungathi bayinikezela komnye umntu imithingi esibini okanye esithathu ngoku singadibani nabo and bekumele kube bakhona apha kule mithingi bonke aba bantu bebekade besizanayo omisidankeli bebebekelwe ecaleni sa we need to be honest with us bebekade bebekelwe ecaleni kule project xa sifika ngoku kuvuthwa ndaba ingathi siyabonakala uba kuzawuba nzima emadodeni izipho ibrukhu engathi bawuphikele ezibrukhweni abantu kuqalwa ngoku abantu bayanyamalala ikhona le nto yenzekayo phaa esase ngayiqondile that's why I was saying really I was expecting that they will be here that we should have siyibhale sive yonke le nto bakwenzeka ntoni and then move forward especially on the matters that are rising from the previous meeting because those matters they talk directly to the CEO they talk directly to the project director or whatever so but again they are here but
please, I would request the honorable member to really leave that matter. We can come back at some stage, but because we want to get the report and those questions, irrespective whether the CEO is present or not, will have to be asked if they have anything to do with this particular report. So even the issue that is not well and all other people might be sick as well or not available, we will deal with that. Now that time is allowed. I don't know whether Nelly wanted to lead, to say something on this matter. That is social development. and this is the agency.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The department can confirm that the CEO is off sick. The minister had a meeting with an agency yesterday. We did receive a sick note from the acting CEO's doctor that she is off sick until the 31st. So she's starting on the 2nd. And then we did also receive an apology regarding the other project members that are busy with the other project, which is which relates to the tender that has been advertised. So the explanation that came to the department in the minister's meeting yesterday with the NPC. Thank you.
Important. Then that maybe we proceed with the presentation, the other matters we are going to raise as we continue going forward. Can you therefore, because I will always go back to the department because it is their own agency and they are also accountable for their commissions or omissions. That is why I wanted Ms. Nelly to actually say something as well. So I allow them to start now.
Thank you so much, Chair. And just to emphasize what the acting DG has said, the project manager did send apologies because she's actually busy with the evaluation of the cash payment tender. And then also to say that there are other members of the SASA delegation, the CFO and the acting executive for corporate services, who are on their way, who would be prepared or ready to answer some of the matters arising from the last meeting. They were asked by the CEO to be prepared for that. What I will do is just to present the progress, which is really just readiness for the 1st of April to make sure that the members are aware of what is happening for the first of April payments. We know that for April we've got three payment channels, the first one being the electronic payments, which is the direct deposits into personal bank accounts. So SAS has been managing that since January this year, and for April we continue with that. There is no challenge in this payment channel at all. The people who've got personal bank accounts, the money will be paid in. The file was extracted on the 22nd of March in line with our timetable. The funds will be released by BankServe tomorrow, so the money will be available for people to transact on the 1st of April. In fact, it may be slightly earlier, but we definitely guarantee that by the 1st of April the money will be in the account and people will be able to access that. That is where they use their personal bank accounts. The second channel is it's also an electronic payment channel, but it is for those people who use the current SASSA card, but they use their PIN numbers to access their money through the national payment system. So they go to bank ATMs or they go to merchants to be able to draw their money. For this channel, and we've specifically split it from the remainder of the work that CPS was done, and I'll speak a little bit to the court judgment, but it has been split in accordance with the court judgment that we received. So the payment file was extracted on the 23rd of March. It covers about 5.4 million records. These are the ones where money is going to be paid by SASSA directly into that card account, which is held with Grindrod. Now, because of the court order that was received on Friday, which is very clear that the continuation with CPS for a period of 6 months is for the cash payments only, we then embarked on a process to sit with Grindrod Bank, that is the holder of these accounts, as well as the Reserve Bank, the Payments Association, and National Treasury, to see how we would be able to effect payments directly into these accounts from our PMG account. We have been given approval by the Reserve Bank to do a bilateral clearing, which just means the money flows from our PMG account, which is held in the Reserve Bank environment, directly to Grindrod Bank. On a bilateral clearing basis, and we've been given authority to do that for a period of 3 months while we get these accounts into our direct transfer file. So beneficiaries have the choice then, a personal bank account, they can continue using their SASSA card account, but it would be a direct transfer which then goes through the bank serve route, and that will be managed within the 3 months that has been given by the Reserve Bank. Now, the funds for this will be released in this week, and again, funds will be available for people to access from the 1st of April. Literally from midnight on the 1st of April, they will be able to go to bank ATMs, to merchants, and the money will be available. And this, again, is for everybody who uses a PIN to access their money. The one thing we did want to raise to the Portfolio Committee is that because these accounts have now been moved into the banking space, absolute banking space, there are bank charges. We are still negotiating with Grindrod to see how we can manage this, but there will be bank charges that will be paid by beneficiaries because they are using the national payment system, and that these accounts are now outside of the contract that we had where they were subsidized. So we really just wanted to raise that as a concern, something that we are still busy addressing. Then the third payment channel is payments at the cash pay point. Now, this is directly related to the court order that we got from the Constitutional Court on Friday last week, where they granted us a six-month period for CPS to continue doing payments at the cash pay point while we progressively move people into the other payment channels. So we confirmed with CPS we will be signing an addendum to the current agreement that we have with them to cover the six-month period, but it is exclusively for cash. So they will service the cash pay points only on a file that is provided to them. The file was provided to CPS. Again, it was extracted over the weekend. The file has been provided for them, and we've confirmed that everything is ready for the cash pay points to start being paid as of Tuesday, the 3rd of April, after the long weekend. Then the other issues around the cash. The tender, as the committee is aware, closed on the 12th of March, and there is a bid evaluation committee that is busy dealing with it now, and that is where our project manager for this project is involved. We do want to alert the committee to possible legal challenges to this, not because of the process, but one of the potential bidders, G4S, has already sent us a legal letter through their lawyers to say that they want this process halted. Now, we're continuing with the evaluation at this stage, but we have raised the concern with our principals and are waiting for a decision to be made. We need to very seriously look at the future of cash payments. We know that there are areas where there is no other infrastructure and cash payments are absolutely critical. But we need to see how we're going to be able to manage this. Because if we do get a legal challenge to either the process before it's finalized or the process once an award is made, it's going to delay the implementation and that's going to have a serious impact on the six-month period that we've got. Now, government has made it very clear that within the 6 months, a solution will be found. There will be no going back to court. At the end of 6 months, the contract with CPS, in all its facets, is concluded. So it is really just to raise to the committee that this is a potential risk, something that our principals are aware of and are certainly dealing with together with us. Then just to update the committee. Sorry, Chair.
There is this concern that now our people out there as beneficiaries are going to expect their service being even monitored, if I say it correctly. That now, can you make a rough estimation of how much the beneficiaries will be charged? Because I think they are indirectly involved in all the challenges, but they are now on the receiving end. If now they have to, they've done nothing to want to go to the bank. And when I spoke with those who were phoning yesterday, they were saying, I'm phoning banks, but I see my life is okay. So can you just highlight as to how much this is likely to cost a beneficiary?
Because I also noted the bullet today when I saw it. What are the reasons that SASSA is no longer going to subsidize them? Because it's not clear just a bullet for adding to what you are asking, Chair, on that matter of the costs that are going to be involved. Because my first, Chair, I was worried that now it seems as if our beneficiaries are going to suffer. We suffer ourselves, but how more? Because if the beneficiaries, even if it's a 10 rand, 10 rand is much more to them. So, okay, can we also add that to the answer?
Thank you, Chair. The costs that we've received from Grindrod Bank, which we are disputing, we are still engaged in discussions with them, and the CFO would be able to give more information about that. But Grindrod Bank has said to us that the account maintenance costs, because it is no longer covered by a contract, and because we don't have a contract with Grindrod Bank, but are using that because that's where the majority of the accounts are, to make sure that there is continuity of payment while we move them into the post office environment. And I need to explain a little bit around that. So the cost that Grindrod has said is that there is an account maintenance cost of 10 rand a month. The other transaction costs beneficiaries have already been covering when they've used the merchants or the ATMs. But this is an over and above cost to what they're not used to. And we have raised it with our principals. It is being discussed at the INC today. And as I've said, we are certainly disputing that with Grindrod Bank. As I've explained, with the court having given us the extension to cover the cash payments only, we effectively now have a contract that covers cash payments that we're able to subsidize through the payment of transaction costs. Everything else is outside of that contract, and that is why we're not able to subsidize it. It goes into the banking space. However, and I do want to stress this, is that we, in terms of the agreement we have with the post office, these people that are currently paid by using the SASSA card, using a PIN in the national payment system, are the ones that are earmarked to move into the new SASSA payment environment together with the post office. And we've been told very, very clearly, speed up that process. Now, it's just dependent on the post office having the cards available, the opening of the accounts they've confirmed they're able to do. It's a matter of having the cards available so we're able to distribute the cards. As soon as we can do that card swap, we get all these beneficiaries into a different payment environment, which is in line with the agreement we've signed with the post office, and which again then brings them into a protected and a subsidized environment where SASSA will pay the transaction costs. So it is an interim arrangement, one that we're extremely concerned about, and I need to stress that. And for that very reason, we've actually raised the dispute with Grindrod Bank, and we are dealing with our, you know, we're working through our principals to see how we're going to be able to cushion that blow. There are a number of things that are being looked at, but it is not a SASSA decision only. It does require approval or working together with our mother department, social development, as well as National Treasury, because it is a policy decision that we're looking at to see whether we're able to subsidize bank accounts.
Our beneficiaries has always been seen as very limited for their needs. Now to lose a 10 rand out of what we have is but a little bit too much. And I that's why I wanted this to be, it has never been able, a matter that we saw coming. So we are actually identifying it as we continue to be briefed on the process going forward. Honorable Pandere, please.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. I actually just wanted to get a clarity-seeking question from Ms. Dankele. If you said that you're raising this issue with the political principals, what in fact, what intervention or solution are you seeking from the principals? Are you suggesting that the state or the department covers that 10 rand? Because I think this is quite a critical issue. If one looks at, for example, the bank fees that are already such a struggle for pensioners and people, you know, they're really crying out in terms of the bank fees. Adding that 10 rand onto the bank fees, for example, is actually quite a disaster. So are you expecting your political principles to go into further negotiations with Grindrod, or are you seeking the state to cover that 10 rand, if I can just get clarity?
Through you, what we're expecting or what our principals would do would be to give us the policy direction. As officials, we would then go into the how to make it work. And what we are looking for is to see whether there can be a process where the bank accounts could be subsidized, even if to an extent, to cushion some of those costs. And what we're really looking at is to see whether that could be done for bank accounts across the board, so that it's not just one segment of the beneficiary population, but for everybody who uses the bank payment channels, particularly because we as government have said that we're wanting to use a hybrid payment model where we're able to use whatever infrastructure is to be able to expand the network where people are able to access their grants. So that's really what we're looking for.
I think, Honourable Members, we will come when we want to close the matter of. We will have to give some instruction because I think as representative of the beneficiaries, we need to be very much concerned about this. And therefore, we will have to say something else so that when you go to the principal, you're not only going because you are SASSA, but you're going because honorable members are not at all accepting the 10 rand things because the very beneficiaries didn't know, are not prepared for that loss now. Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to find out while we are on this point, and I don't have my memory well on this one, but I'll probably be assisted by SASSA. Some time ago, there was an interview that I watched on television with the CEO of the Banking Council of South Africa, I think it was Kaskovadia, who was saying that as the banking association, they are ready and they are waiting for SASSA. Were they saying that they are ready and waiting to charge people those the big bank charges, or they are waiting with some kind of a special purpose sort of arrangement because in his tone of voice sounded like they were frustrated because they're waiting for SASSA. But you can clarify that. Thanks.
I also saw them, but I thought they were SASSA. They were responding because SASSA had said they are not in control of the charges, and then if they have a control, they will have to go out of their way to say there should be a negotiation. So they were waiting for a negotiation, which is not in line with what we are talking now, because we are being compelled by the court judgment. People are going to the bank now because we didn't deliver on the earlier decision of SAPO taking over on the 1st. And therefore, that leads to other amendments that were not there before, and therefore the end result now is this loss of a 10 rand by a member. So that's why I'm saying probably let's work on, and then we must give an instruction as to what do we say about the 10 rand and what message must go out there, because when people go, they will think that council of bankers and SASSA have already made an arrangement, which is clear has not been attended to so far. What we have here on our table, Mema Sango, is that our people will lose 10 rand, and let's voice our own way of saying how are they going to recover this? If it's going to be deducted as a showcase, then how is it going to be refunded back to them? Because at this stage, they are not supposed to suffer. They are not responsible for our messing up the management of payment. So you can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. And just to confirm to the members that we are in contact with the Banking Association and are discussing a number of issues with them to see how the banks can help. But we certainly note the members' concerns. The other update I wanted to give, at the last portfolio committee meeting, we had mentioned that we would be doing the pilot project on the biometric enrollment, where as SASSA staff we will be doing the biometric enrollment and no longer leaving it to CPS, so that it becomes, currently it's done by CPS and it's directly linked to the payments. We're saying that it should be part of the application process as it used to be. And we did the pilot site, the four pilot projects on the 22nd of March. We successfully tested the new system. It effectively works so that when a beneficiary comes into a local office, they are immediately, through a fingerprint, confirmed. We check to the Home Affairs Population Register, to the HANA system, to say that the holder of the ID that's in front of us is who they say they are. So straight away you get that confirmation. We then do the application process, and we do the full 10-fingerprint biometric enrollment, which is information that we store, so it's no longer in the private sector, it's now with government, and then those images are made available to the post office to be able to encrypt onto the new card, and then the post office will issue the card. We were able to test the full system except for the issuing of the new card, because those cards are not yet available. They're currently being tested for operationalization within the payment space. So we should have those cards available by the 16th of March, and we'll start rolling it out. But the biometric enrollment system within, as part of the application process, is working, and we will now continue and roll it out to all of our local offices. Just to say that some of the results, and we're waiting for the full report on the four pilot sites, but some of the results are really very encouraging, because there were a couple of exceptions identified straight away. A couple of people who came in and who were carrying two IDs, and when they present the one ID to us, we're not able to match the fingerprints, got an exception report back immediately from Home Affairs to say this doesn't match, but when they produced the other ID document, then there was a match. So we could get them to go to Home Affairs straight away and go and get the wrong ID cancelled, so that you're no longer having people walk around with the two IDs. So it's going to have a mutual benefit, both for SASSA as well as for the Department of Home Affairs, because we will be working very closely with them to resolve all of the exceptions. And then just to report to the committee on this kind of support services that we will be providing over this coming weekend, because payments start on Sunday, even though it's in the middle of the Easter weekend. Our call center, and I've provided the number for the members, our call center will be open on Sunday and Monday, the public holidays. It will be staffed. There will be staff ready to answer any questions that beneficiaries may phone in with. We also have arranged that our SoftPen system, which is the system we use for generating payments, is available. So if anybody does phone in, we'll be able to do the inquiry straight away and give them a response or advise them as to what to do. We will also have staff very visible at all of the large merchants in all of the provinces. So the very big merchants like the Boxes and the Pick and Pays that are open on Sunday and Monday, we will have staff there so that we're able to pick up any beneficiaries who do experience any channel challenges, if there are, and deal with them straight away. We will also go and do spot checks at the bigger ATMs, because we know that the beneficiaries have been waiting for this, and with all of the concerns about whether it would be paid, wouldn't it be paid, and those kinds of concerns, we know people will go in their numbers on the 1st and the 2nd, so we will have staff there ready to support and provide answers. We also will have additional staff deployed to all of the cash pay points, which start on the 3rd of April, just again to make sure that we're able to address any kind of challenges that may arise. And just to raise to the members, because the contract that we have with CPS is now very specific for cash only, that cash payment file is the only payment file that CPS can pay. So if other people go to the pay points that are not on that payment file, they are going to be redirected to alternatives like a bank ATM and so on, and it's the only way we can manage and really implement the decision of the court, which is clearly to ring fence cash payments for the 6-month period and to then progressively and very aggressively roll out the new SASSA card together with our partner SAPO so that we can get everybody into the right payment environment and make sure that we're able to move forward without any further challenges. Thank you very much, Chair.
Will you also further explain the point that says the extension that is now in place as per the court judgment is different from the relationship and contract you've been having with SASSA all the time? Am I correct to think that? Okay, thank you very much. I regret to acknowledge Umama U Abram, Umama Utoledi, Umama Ukanyile, and that role in that arrangement. We will stay and Uli. In that arrangement. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, Ms. Ankeli, for the update. Yes, Honorable Chairperson, we are concerned, and I think part of the members have already raised our concerns. We are now happy that on the 1st of April the beneficiaries will receive their grant, but with all the other concerns and for the next 6 months, sounds like a concern and a concern. So we hope that all goes well within the six-month transitional period. And after 6 months we don't begin here, that we have to start fresh again. The bilateral clearing system you mentioned, is it a once-off? Noting that you've mentioned 3 months, because we are so worried that we hear once off and then it reoccur again. So I'd like to know, will this just be a once off for the 3 months, or will it be beyond that? And what happens if it doesn't work? Then the bank charges, we're definitely concerned. One rand, 2 rand for a beneficiary is a lot of money. Some of the beneficiaries have done what they need to do, and so 10 rand for them would be an extreme lot of money. So we're hoping that you can come around that. And my concern, Chairperson, is that why do we hear today about this arrangement and not prior to this? That is it. The Grindrod contract, also hearing today there is no contract. Shouldn't the arrangement have been with TPS or whatever, wherever Grindrod has had an arrangement? Shouldn't that period, what we're hearing about, should have been taken into account, that whatever charges were there should have been taken into consideration. The interim is that our beneficiaries are suffering in the meantime. while we're saying yes, it will be paid on the 1st of April, but people will be suffering. Your biometric system too, we're very happy when we hear that it will eventually belong to government, it will be with government and government will have everything. My question is, how safe will this be spreading it out and to avoid corruption if we don't come back and hear that we lack security? What is your security system around the biometric system? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm a little bit challenged person this morning because my gadget here does not want to open the Parliament email, so I was trying to go through the document. So I'm depending on the document presented there. Chair, the first thing, let me also welcome the presentation by SAFA. And perhaps, Chair, at least I think for myself where I'm sitting, the anxiety that I have is a little bit going down, but I'm waiting for the 1st and the 2nd of April to see that really what we have promised the South Africans that we will deliver the grant to them, come rain or not, whether we are going to do that. Chair, let me start with the court order that was given out last week, Friday. The first thing, Chair, that I realized, SAFA is unable to communicate clearly outside the outcomes of the court because, Chair, a lot of people think that the court extension is on everything. They are not coming out clearly. I think in the last meeting, Chair, we stressed that communication should be key because they are not coming out very strongly to say the only part that is extended by court is the cash payment and clearly outline how many beneficiaries that are still on the cash payment to the South Africans in general, not to us as the portfolio committee chair, because already we know how many, but SAFA with the government communication information system, they are not coming out clearly to talk about that matter. And now, outside there, people think that it's a whole CPF contract that is extended. I really urge them, Chair, to go out and outline to the public that exactly this is what is happening in the contract. It's not every part of the contract that is being under extension. It's only this part of the contract, Chair. That's the first thing, Chair. Secondly, Chair, also, I think coupled with that, on Friday there were a lot of events that were happening with SAFA. I think, Chair, maybe this is a moment for them to explain to us the issue of the 316 million. As much as it's a victory to government, that CPS has to pay back to government, it's a victory to government, that amount. Can they perhaps again talk about that, explain exactly the details of the court order, because there's an order that was also issued on Friday. There were two things, this one with the extension, and also in another court somewhere, there was this order of a 316 million that had to be paid back to the government of South Africa by CPS. Can you get more information on that? Chair, the other issue is on the possible legal challenge. I'm really interested that what is exactly that the G4 that they are saying they want to challenge, because in my understanding, the tendering process is still underway. Things have not unfolded. What is it that exactly that they are saying in the letter that states the intention of challenging the tendering process? Can we get more information exactly what is it that they want to challenge, what they are saying they would be challenging while the processes are still unfolding or on the matter? Chair, on the issue of the extension of the contract, if I listened very well, although I have not read the exact part of the extension, if I listened very well, the extension does not change anything. It's still based on the current arrangement. There is nothing that is changing on the contract. If the cash payment contract was saying you charge 10 rand, I'm just making an example. So in other words, for further, this 6 months, further moving forward, there's nothing that changed on the terms of the contract. Can I be explained here in details? I'm asking that question under correction because I might have not got it correctly. But I think there is something that was saying in that regard, that all the conditions that were stipulated in the original contract should still stay the same on the matter, Chair.
All right. Honorable members, please assist me. You are the ones who said you want to go at a particular time. But I think we have not even gone much to finish this one. So I appeal to honorable members to limit their questions or us to decide to cancel the other item if these matters you can do without. But others were saying they are leaving at 11, and I can see that their luggage is almost on the door. So can we proceed in that arrangement? Thank you.
Okay, so while we are still on the matter, I would ask the honorable members that SAFA's issue is more important than the presentation of a headquarter report. We also know that it's important because it's what we need to do as parliament. But really, can I ask the members that let's deal with the issue of SAFA and conclude it. Then along the way, we will see if we still continue with the DSD headquarter report that has to be presented. Because if we move out of this room, Chair, still having a lot of questions, and 1st of April are here and will not be here, and understandably so, we'll be coming back around the 16th or the 17th of April because we are going on a recess. Can we, honorable members, perhaps deal with the matter of SASA and then conclude it, satisfy ourselves and move forward? Can I make that proposal before my last issue, Chair?
Remember, we're
okay.
Going to see
my last issue, Chair, it's an issue on the... Okay, last issue, Chair, it's the issue that emanated out of the meeting that we had with the... It's just a comment, Chair, that we had with the different regional directors. Are they called directors? They are regional executive managers or directors from the different provinces. I think, Chair, I took upon myself that let me follow up the report that was presented here by the Free State region. And fortunately, my constituency is just situated where all of these things are happening, Chair. Chair, I must say in the portfolio committee, I was very much impressed. I was very much impressed. I did an oversight to go and see what we presented on SAPO, what we presented as SASA. To be honest, Chair, the mood with the staff of SASA, the mood is there. SASA staff is waiting to work. I went to the post office because remember, Free State said they are the only ones that have got a mobile post office. I went there, Chair, I inspected that, I saw it, and I was very impressed that indeed the South African post office will deliver. Because I saw that what they presented. So I wanted to lastly comment on that, Chair, that really where we are sitting, that's why I was saying the anxiety that I had before, it's a little bit going down day by day up until perhaps the second and the first and the second, that it means I'll no longer be having this. I wanted to share that, honorable member, Chairperson, with the honorable members that indeed what was presented, I saw it. It's exactly the way it was presented. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That means that point will also be taken up when we actually want to say the overall state of readiness towards the day. Mayor Kanyile?
Thank you so much, Chairperson. And thank you, Mrs. Dankele, for the presentation that you have just made and welcome it. I want to draw this committee to the second last slide where it was talking about the call center. I was thinking under correction, Chairperson. It says there will be a call center that has been established especially for this purpose. And if my memory serves me well, this 0800 number, normally it is free for telecom callers. But if you are calling using a cell phone, it is going to be a charge on that call. I want to find out if there an alternative way that the grant beneficiaries can be able to communicate with the SASSA officers, considering that most people are not using the Telkom landlines. They cannot afford them. So normally you would opt for the cheapest phone that you buy for 100 rands every now and then you load a time or send SMSs. And we all know that when you call the call center, sometimes you are asked to hold for a very, very long time. So even the 29 rands airtime that you have will maybe exhaust it. And we also need to consider that these grant payments for some households, they are a means of survival. So as we are arguing that they cannot even pay the 10 rands for their bank fees, I also think we need to consider them when it comes to payment of these core services. And Chairperson, before I finish up, I also want to find out if we are going to have a moment today to discuss the acting positions, because I have a concern. I saw the report and it's something that I would like us to engage on. Thank you so much.
I will be very much dependent on the cooperation of members. That is a good interest. We need to know about that. But I think we all agree that some problems are contributing to the mismanagement of SASSA because of vacancies or whatever and so on. That is critical. But if we can only finalize this towards the best, and then if we've got a smaller amount of time, we'll actually touch as to why the vacancies, because we had issued an instruction on that. But this one has become a priority of all priorities. Honorable Houston.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, Ms. Dunkley, for the presentation. I just want to ask a clarity question. Does all the grant beneficiaries know whether they are registered for a cash payment or whether they're not registered for a cash payment? I'm just concerned about, you know, places like the Northern Cape, which really consist about small towns and very small towns, and people sometimes move around, and some of them have an ATM, and then you get to the really small ones where they're not, and a person might be assuming, okay, I'm now here, so I will probably be able to get my money from the cash point, and then, you know, maybe they won't. I just want to know what the communication around that has been for grant beneficiaries and whether they know or don't know. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you again. Sorry. I've also got the flu, so I'm sorry about that, Chairperson. Firstly, I want to say to Ms. Dunkley, thank you very much for the presentation. In response to the discussion about the 10 rand, I think we really, as a committee, are very concerned about this, because considering bank charges in general and the complaints that we've been receiving, I think the emphasis should be, we cannot have a situation where we announce a very small increase in grants to be paid to our beneficiaries, but then we strip it again through bank costs. So I think I really welcome this discussion in terms of government subsidizing not only that 10 rand, but the other bank costs as well. But I want to zoom in onto the issue of the evaluation of the cash payment tender. I also wanted to know why G46 has lodged a complaint for the process to be halted. I wanted to know how many applications were received for this tender. I wanted to know the time frames. When do we expect the new cash payment service provider to be on board, maybe in terms of a trial basis? I know that by August, you know, we have to phase CPS out, but just maybe by when do you envisage announcing to who the contract will go to? I want to know the status of Cash Master Pay Services, whether they've also tendered again to be a service provider. And really, I'm asking this because I think the time has come for this company to be charged in terms of the unethical business practices in terms of the National Consumer Act. Because last night, Chairperson, I was really appalled to watch a documentary where CPS officials, anonymous officials, highlighted how they get the information, the beneficiary information, and how they go with Net One service providers. They go to our disabled communities. They go to our pensioners. They sign up people for a loan, and then they sign them up for life insurance and this other airtime, etc., for example, this one man signed up for, which he didn't know, he signed up for life insurance, and when he phoned the life insurance company, that life insurance, the beneficiary was not even one of his family members. So the people who were in the car, who ambitious our grant recipients, are people who work for NetOne subsidiary companies. And they come and they sign up. So the one woman, for example, in December, when she went to her bank account, she only had 65 rand left for the entire December period. And I think if we look at the Consumer Act in terms of unfair business practices, in terms of unfair marketing practices, in terms of being able to choose products, and being able to be given the right information about what you are signing up for, this company must be charged in terms of flouting these regulations. I also wanted to know, in terms of the toll-free number, whether it will work from cell phones, as my previous colleague said, or whether it just will be working from landlines. In terms of communications, I still find, you know, most people are emailing members of parliament or phoning us or please calling us. They do not understand the process that is unfolding. And so I think, you know, there needs to be, and we've spoken about this on countless occasions, but there needs to be better communication with our grant recipients. They don't understand. There's some panic among some of them where they feel by 1 April the card will have expired. And I know you've done some work in terms of educating our communities, but are we aggressively feeding information to our grant recipients? Are we targeting them with SMSs, for example? Are we, you know, going into communities, making sure that we call community meetings? I think more must be done because, yes, while we are happy with the presentation and the progress, I think there is still a general lack of understanding in terms of the processes that are unfolding. And lastly, I want to know the process in terms of the rollout, Ms. Dunkley, and the new SASSA SARPO card, also the time frame for this, by when will everybody have a new card, and are you expecting pensioners and disabled recipients to come to your offices for these cards, or will you again go to these communities? Thank you.
Well, I, Honorable Masango, but please allow me a moment to say, maybe I would advise that let's leave this matter of the report because it's completely under judicature so far, sub judicature. Because the matter they are discussing with the minister and all the other things. And I wouldn't like this committee to be involved in tender issues. But if at some time we will invite the minister to come and share with us what are the issues in that process, because that's where they belong. But with the rest of the cases that is required to be taken up by Honorable Van der Merwe, you will remember that the SASSA has been to court and out of court on the issues of access to information, deductions, etc. I think before we move that direction, we need to know at what stage are they, because they have not refunded those deductions they have made. And they won the case, and they were supported by beneficiaries, that it's our money, we have got a right to open an account with you. And now, because we have not done a lot of work to expose how our people are being exploited. I understand exactly what you say. But when I found the queue, they were actually saying people were in a queue to actually loan. They were saying, SASSA has no right. We are here because it's our money. We're making our own loan. So I was defeated because there has not been enough communication to expose how they get exploited. So we might take them up, but our beneficiaries might side with them, and we appear as poor leaders. But I will allow Ms. Dangen to respond to all, including the ones I've commented, if she deems it that information requires to be given here and now. Before you, let's take Mama Masango.
Thank you, Chair. My questions are just confirmation. The first confirmation I need to have is that with the judgment of the court last Friday, it's business as usual. And then the second question is, I would like to know if SASSA has received, as some of us have, inquiries from the beneficiaries that their cards, although it has been done, arrangements have been made for the cards to expire only later, if they have received any other inquiries to say the cards have actually expired and people are not able to transact because they are told their cards have expired, and they can see from those card machines to say declined because it has expired. And if that is so, how many of those inquiries they have received and what is being done about it? And then the last one, Chair, is the there was a drastic, and I'm saying this because I am excited about that. There was a drastic reduction of the beneficiaries that would receive their money at pay points. And I would like to know if, since we were given the number at the last meeting, if there's been further reduction and what that has done to the arrangements of the pay points that people will get their money from, if there are pay points that have had to be closed because of that reduction or not. And also, just a comment on saying, while one was excited that people can now go and get their money from the bank, and so that we have less people being exposed to risk at getting their money, it sounds like we actually were excited about people having to pay this 10 rand now or whatever, however much it is. So the banking thing is not an exciting prospect at the moment. And I just can only reiterate and emphasize the point the colleagues have made to say if something needs to be done, it needs to be done as soon as possible. And also to make sure that the money that people will have lost through the banking charges, that the arrangements that SASSA is working on with the banks will actually ensure that people get their money back. Thank you, Chair.
Now you can actually make your response.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll try and respond to the questions. I'll also ask our legal services person, Lucy, to speak to the 316 million as well as to the implications of the extension of the contract, just so that we're really very clear on the extension under the current terms and conditions, but there are other things that have to be dealt with. Just to confirm the bilateral clearing, we've been given the authority to do that for a maximum period of 3 months. During these 3 months, we will either get those beneficiaries into the new SAPO environment with the new SASSA card, understanding that that card is going to be available for issue from the 16th of April. So then we will really start pushing them. The others we will get into our ACB payment file. So the direct clearing to Grindrod will stop after the 3 months. There will be alternative ways of making sure that those people all get paid. So to say that it's the transfer of the file has gone through this month, the transfer of the funds are going through, it's something we're monitoring very closely, but do not foresee any challenges there. The biometric system, just to reassure members that adequate security procedures and protocols have been built around it. So it is not accessible to anybody else. It is stored in a safe environment. The whole system has been set up to make sure that it is adequately safeguarded, and the only people that can access that information are people who have access rights. So the security there is not an issue. The issue around the call centre, just to confirm that we actually have made arrangements that it is free for cell phones as well. We do know that there have been challenges, particularly on the first 2 days of payment, 2 or 3 days of payment, where people who phone in get to hold for a really long time. We are trying to address that to see whether we can't introduce a callback process or something that it automatically records numbers or things like that, something that we are working on. But our call centre is free for both cell phones and landlines. And it will be available on the 1st and the 2nd. It will be manned as well. So there shouldn't be a challenge there. The issue of whether people know where to go to collect their money, the communication that we put out amongst the beneficiary population is to say, please, on for April, go where you have always gone. So, and that was how we divided the payment files as well. So the people who've gone to cash pay points, that's where their money will be. People who went to merchants or to point of sale devices, the money will be in the SASSA card and they can access it at any bank ATM or merchant point of sale device. So the message that we've really tried to get across very strongly is don't change your payment behavior in April. If you've always gone and drawn at a merchant, don't now go to a pay point. Stay where you were, go and draw where you've always been getting your money will be available. And as I've said, we will have staff available at the various channels so that if anybody picks up a problem, we can redirect them and explain to them why the changes have been made. Because as much as we've done general communication, we also find that with a lot of our beneficiaries, the one-on-one and explain and say why the changes, how you need to do it, that really just makes the most difference. Around the issues of the inquiries, possible inquiries from beneficiaries about the current SASSA card having been or not being accepted, we have had some. We've had some from some of the really small merchants. For example, there was a butcher shop in Ngobo in the Eastern Cape. There was a small coffee shop in one of the areas where somebody was on a trip and they stopped at a coffee shop and they looked at the card and they said, but this is expired, tried it in their equipment and their equipment couldn't read it. Everyone that we've had reported to us, we have engaged both Grindrod Bank and CPS to say, speak to that merchant. It may just be that they needed a software upgrade on the actual reader of the card. But the cards do still work. They will still continue to work, and we will make sure that they work for as long as we're in this transition. And that is a message that we will constantly be providing to our beneficiaries as well. With the numbers and the cash pay points, and one of the big challenges we have is how are we going to, over the 6 months, reduce the number of cash beneficiaries, but then there need to be the viable options, and we understand exactly what the committee is saying there. The payment file for April shows us, whereas the payment file for March was about 2.8 million cash beneficiaries, the payment file for April has gone to 3 million. Now, we're busy investigating why that is, and then as soon as the payments have started and it's going smoothly, we will sit and start cleaning up that payment file, because it could be that in the division that some of the people who do in fact have PIN numbers were still included in the cash payment file. But they will be able to access their money, so that's not a problem, but we will be cleaning up that file and get a far better or a firmer understanding of the actual numbers in each of the payment channels. And then, Chair, just I wanted to, before I ask Brucie to respond to the legal issues, just to confirm to the members that the grant increases for April have been programmed, they have been factored in, they will be available for the beneficiaries in this April payment cycle. Perhaps if I can just ask Brucie to speak to the legal issues, Chair.
We have heard this morning, we have been assured that the payment is going to take place. And we all agree that came out very clear that on the 1st, our people will be as they were, because if you were going to a merchandise or vendor, you will go. If you were at a pay point, you will go. So, so far there will be no drastic, chaotic disruption on the system. And secondly, I am also impressed by the fact that one of our members is actually saying the post office in Free State is ready. That then confirms what the regional executive managers said, because they gave us a story that was much, much believable, that they have not been involved at a chaotic stage. More than that, they were working as partners at that particular level and reaching out as a team. Your traditional leaders that they mentioned, your church that they mentioned. So, but also, I think we as this committee need to make it clear that what was actually earlier on given as information to our people about how chaotic SAPO is has a negative effect. Because others continue to phone to say, no, here in King William's Town, this post office is dilapidated, we can't operate there, they are always choose what will happen to us. So these matters need to be clarified. That's why we invited the executive managers so that they raise those issues at this level, and then we can be able to check how the dilapidation is going to be attended to, so that it is tend to be safer for our people to go there. The other question that is very critical is that if the post office is one, say in Mkanduli or in Stege, so there are many communities that are kilometers far from the post office, what will be the case? But I think you are saying to us as SASA, the pay points are not at stake. That system will still exist until further notice. Mm. But it is unfortunate, Umama Uswondile went to Bloemfontein, which is better off than where I come from. I went to mine at a Flagstaff. There was broad daylight robbery that day, and those who get EPWC were not paid. And when I went to visit, they were all asking, can you see, if our money was here, what would happen? But I think we will all work together to ensure that those who are responsible for strengthening SAPO must do that work, because we don't want to turn back anymore. Ours is going forward to say, at the end of the day, SASA Act provides the right for SASA to pay beneficiaries. No one else. I think the SASA Act has not been amended. So the issues of post office, SASA was there because our people were not bankable. You can't go and open an account when you are not employed. So the fact that the SASA to deal with payments is because those beneficiaries were not bankable. So the issue of banks increasing their charges or whatever is a matter that the committee will continue to be seized with. But I'm happy that members are noting that they acknowledge that our people will be paid come the first, and it's really it would be a bad sign. And I believe honorable members, wherever they will be, they will also play their oversight to take matters upon themselves to raise concerns where there are people who find themselves not accessing enough information. And then if we are done with this item, I will request members that we move at least to the issues that we raised of the organizational structure of SASA, as well as these vacancies that are not being filled and people perpetually being at an acting level, and see, because that one on its own, I don't think it is good to sign a contract, a performance contract with an incumbent who is not fully employed, is temporarily here, nor does it motivate them to prove who they are in terms of being efficient. So I think we need to go to that. But as we go to that, I want to appeal to Utaban and the team, to the leadership, that it wouldn't help us to deal with this quarterly report, because they know that we are supposed to sit here and talk about rents and cents and play our oversight. However, this is a bread and butter issue. And our people, extremely, everyone is phoning my grandparents and the chief, my people, and the priest, our Christians. So it's a whole matter of stakeholders that we have to focus and not confuse them with the other issues. So it's my appeal that we'll do it at a later stage, but let's exhaust this one and ensure that everything is fine. I wouldn't care want to keep members for a long time here. Those who are catching floods are free now to steal away. Honorable Marcus.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. There's just something wrong with my voice because when I ate something, I ate avocado paste, and it's constricting. Chairperson, there was one question, I think this question didn't come up. When it comes to security, because we know that the money will be in the ATMs after 12. So I think it's going to be important for SASSA to explain to us what arrangements they make with the police. Because we know people go already during the early hours of the morning, and especially now, where these concerns were rising, you know, to get their pay. So I think that will be important. Not the cash payment, but the ATMs. Because I remember with the last payment, when there were quite a number of concerns, SASSA made arrangements with the police, you know, to protect the people that go during the night or the early hours of the morning to the ATMs. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We have certainly been speaking to the security services, the police services, the same as we did last year. However, we don't have a specific deployment plan. I also want to just assure the members that we've also spoken to the bigger merchants so that they're aware that the numbers of people who may be coming in on the 1st and the 2nd, particularly because it's a weekend, are likely to be higher than normal, so that they make sure that they have sufficient supply of cash and that security is addressed. But I do not have this specific police deployment plan. But we have been engaging all the security services to see what can be done.
But it will help. Or it will also help the committee to know that there is a much, much support on part of government clusters on this program. The interministerial committee now is being extended to also include a sub, to include the army forces, because there's no way our people are going to be criminals to be allowed to actually make life impossible for the vulnerable of the people of this country. So I think that IMC, that's why the minister is there, they're still crafting as to if crime is increasing, if our people, they are actually panicking at night because they received what they're supposed to get from government, something better must be provided. So it's a big issue. We are part of a bigger army addressing this. Can I ask therefore the CFO to just give us what we instructed him to do, so that when we leave here, we know exactly how we are going to tackle to perfect this system so that it doesn't have to go to and fro between the court and us. It's very easily to say in the Eastern Cape it's full-time, it's temporary. How long has that person been? In Free State, it's fully employed and so on. And then we will talk about the organogram and inability to actually populate the organogram for such an important agency.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning to Honorable Members. We are also accompanied by the Executive, Acting Executive Corporate Services that is responsible for the corporates and HR matters within SASA. Not sure. Thank you, Chair. I think first want to just tender an apology that there were just minor changes in terms of the presentation circulated. There were minor adjustments that actually we did. But I think it did not necessarily change. So what we've done is that the one that I will be taking you through quickly, the report will actually indicate the positions of the people that actually have been deployed, but the ones that the members have does have actually the actual names of individuals that we talked about. So for the purposes of full disclosure, then we can give the members the names, but in terms of just talking to the positions, then it would make sense just to be able to really talk about the positions in terms of the principle that was applied to. The acting executive is Ms. Dumisile Ndlovu, who is responsible for...
Honorable Masango has something to say.
I'm so sorry, CFO. I wanted to find out what happened to the legal issues. Have we sort of put that aside? Because there was a time when Mrs. Dunkley was handing over for the legal part of the questions that had been asked. Are we still going back there?
I thought she was done.
Yeah.
But
she hadn't even started.
If not, because I thought legal issues we were raising were part of the questions that we had asked.
Yes.
But if there's a package outside, that she can deal with that.
Okay.
Honourable Member, but the issue, in my understanding, the issue of the time frames, Honourable Madloba, is not that of SASA, but it is a judgment. And I don't think the judgment is extending to a particular number of months. But I don't think it would be a crime if they finish earlier, but it will be a crime if they go beyond three.
So I don't think it's their choice, but they will respond. But it's an instruction. That's what I read in the court judgment, that they are now being extended for 3 months. And then if they say they are not going to be ready, they could have actually written back to appeal the judgment, of which we have not heard about it. The issue of the quarterly report is not going to be, it depends on time we give them. It's not affecting them because they are reporting on the work they have done. However, given the fact that was given to me an impression that members were actually chasing transport today. Otherwise, I could have never wanted us to suspend it. It was a matter that if we rush everything out, we will not be good in any. But if we then thoroughly deal with these ones we want to deal. But also, Honorable Member, remember that the last meeting, this can't be a separate item. You remember we said last meeting, we need to get this information. We said the CFO will have to bring us the information about vacancies, etc. So that's why I'm going back to it. Because if I leave it by any chance, Honorable Members, it will be a matter that I don't stick to what we had said in the last meeting. So can we proceed now?
Okay, sorry, do you want us to respond to the two legal questions, which was the clarity on the court order?
Just Honorable Members, legal questions are coming now for the one who asked for them.
Thank you, Chair. Just before we go there on the clarity of the 3 months for the Grindrod, and Brucey will explain the conditions of the extension that has been granted, which is a period of 6 months. The bilateral clearing with Grindrod is what has been the approval that has been given to us by the Reserve Bank. We are saying that in those 3 months, the beneficiaries within that number, it's the 5.4 million, will either go into our direct transfer file, the ACB file, still if we pay into the SASA card account, but it will be paid through a different channel and not with the bilateral clearing. So people will be paid, or they will have already received the new SASA card, which will be rolled out from the 16th of March. And it's because we've got those two channels that we know we will do it within the 3 months. And the reason for that was to be able to allow us to progressively increase the numbers of people in our ACB payment file, the direct payment file, without it compromising that system. It was the system that couldn't cope with all the 5.4 million in addition to the 3 million all at once. So it's being done over the 3 months granted to us by the Reserve Bank. So it doesn't. We know that those 3 months will be met. But Brucey will explain the legal issues. Thank you, Chair.
Satisfied, Honourable Member, with the explanation on legal matters? Okay, as legal, because, okay, illegal is a real good.
Thank you, Chair.
With respect to the extension of our agreement with CPF on the same terms and conditions, is with respect to the cash component of the entire agreement we had with CPF. It is going to be on the same terms and conditions that are there in the current service level agreement that will be extended. But we are going to have a transition agreement that is going to elaborate what will be happening in the 6 months. Those services that SASA is able to take over, such as enrollment of beneficiaries, those are the services that will be winning CPF off from, and we will inform the court of those services that may not necessarily be undertaken by CPF, which CPF were doing as far as cash payment is concerned. As far as Grindrod is concerned, we do not have an agreement with Grindrod. We know that Grindrod came through CPF. Now that we are dealing directly with Grindrod, as Reserve Bank has given us the 3 months, we'll be entering into an agreement with Grindrod as well, where we'll also detail what our expectations are from Green Road, and also the fact that we will be taking over some of the beneficiaries if they intend, if they elect to be paid directly through us, and if, or if they elect to be paid by any other method, be it through their own bank account or be through our partner SAP. What is critical is that SASA's communication has to be more focused on what we'll be doing going forward. But we are still going to have an agreement with Green Road as soon as we get a deviation from Treasury, notwithstanding that the Reserve Bank has given that leeway. We have written to Treasury for a deviation, not only for Green Road and also for CPS for the 6 months, even though the court has given us an extension. We know that the court gave us an extension, but the court is not necessarily responsible for procurement. As far as the 316 million is concerned, this was a 316 million that was paid to CPS during 2012, when CPS was awarded the tender to register all the beneficiaries. CPS understanding was that it only had to register the projected number of beneficiaries then, which was about 9.5 million. However, the agreement itself mentions registration of children and procurators that made up the 11 million that CPS regarded as additional registration. So the court has ruled that CPS has to pay back the 316 million that we paid because they had to register everybody. However, we have heard that CPS or its mother body, NetOne, will be appealing this judgment. Thank you, Chair.
I hope it clarifies legal matters and the issue of this amount. But so far, it's not yet Christmas to us because there's a pending that they might appeal the decision. So our interest is that as long as funds come back to the poor, we are always happy. There are issues, I think, Honorable Madropa, you raised. Can I give you an opportunity to further clarify? Was it Honorable Abram? Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I can cover it partly, although I think I'm becoming pessimistic. If the 3 months period of Grindrod stopping the card does not happen, what will happen to the people that are still holding on to these cards? Because most of the Grindrod cards is attached to loans. So how will they be handled? Thank you.
Please respond.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, and I'm not being very clear. The card will continue to work. The 3 months is for the bilateral clearing between us and Grindrod only, not for the payment into the card. Those cards that are still in circulation after the 3 months, we will continue depositing into them, but through the bank served payment file. So the cards will still continue and everybody will still be paid. Thank you, Chair.
Beneficiary information, can we as this committee understand clearly that during this period, the issue of deductions are illegal and other things actually putting insurances in people's payment arrangement will not be possible with your new arrangement?
Here to confirm that as the people move into the new SASA card, that account is specifically set up so that it does not allow any EFT debits whatsoever. So if somebody wants to take a loan or wants to enter into an agreement, they've got to do it outside of that account, which is subsidized by government. And we believe that as SASA and government, we've actually built in the protections that the beneficiaries do need.
With that, I would want to explain further to for Honorable Madropa to understand where I come from. Is the fact that we are dealing with these challenges because the engine, which is the organizational arrangement of SASA, doesn't have stability. And we can do everything to correct
mistakes and other things. I'm sure definitely those who work in government will agree with me that you need an effective, stabilized system in order to be able to penalize people when they go wrong, in order to make them sign contracts. But we seem to be having some sort of instability. That's why I'm asking a question, that in the last meeting we had, we invited the members of the executive management. When they came here, I think 8 or 7 of them were actors. And we joked about this saying we are in Honolulu here or in New York. But we really want to know that how is the situation and how does it come about and how is the SASSA, who must be perfect now, because we are shutting this instrument, this banking, to do this work, I'm told, professionally. The actual objective of dealing with this banking, which pays our beneficiaries, is to perfect it and to make it to work efficiently and professionally. That's why then I'm saying the beginning is, who is the man in the man, not necessarily gender this time, a woman being there? Yes. Okay, can you help us? Because it's not about criticism, it's about what else should we do to ensure that we are never found wanting.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to give the background on the presentation. Upon submission of the report in 2015 to the Constitutional Court, advising the Constitutional Court that SASSA will take over the payment function, SASSA had to get itself ready to take over. And readiness implied that SASSA had to transform itself, moving from one order to another. And transformation was going to culminate into the review of the organizational structure, because all the time the structure should be informed by the strategy. As we are going to change the strategy, and therefore the structure was supposed to be reconfigured to support the strategy. And in so doing, from human resource planning point of view, you need to both skill and reskill. And in doing so, skilling and reskilling of human resources does not necessarily mean taking them for courses. However, you need to place them strategically where they can best perform, or you can also expose them in different levels of operation and different levels of environment for them to gain experience. So most of the actings and secondments, they happened in that context. But Chairperson, upon realizing that we're no longer going to take over, because we went to an extent of even informing DPSA, in a transformation environment, we don't fill the positions up until the finalization of the final organizational structure, and therefore people have to act. So I'm accounting for the past 2 years. That's why you see in the presentation that after that, upon realizing that we are no longer going to go the route of insourcing the entire payment function, we started advertising the post. To an extent that we have advertised twice already, and there is a progress to date as to where we are with respect to the filling in of positions. Chairperson, I just wanted to give that background in terms of the vacancies in the past 2 years or so. I can highlight that there are vacancies, posts that have been vacant for quite some time. For instance, if you look at Limpopo and Northern Cape, there were advertisements that were done in particular in Western, in Northern Cape, it went as far as recommendation of a successful candidate. It went to cabinet, but that particular individual had a court case that was pending. We had to wait for the finalization of that court case, but apparently ultimately it did not go well, so we had to re-advertise. The Limpopo one, also advised that it was advertised at any given point in time. However, there were no suitable candidates that were found at that particular point in time. If you can see, Limpopo is dating back in 2009, the vacancy there. So I just wanted to give the background, Chairperson, on the past two years.
Very concerning indeed. Because the organizational arrangement is informed by the objective of the existence of a particular program. And if you cannot know what type of players do you want, and you just continue with the work, imagine we are continuing, but we run it with people who don't know. You don't know if you have not interrogated that person, interviewed, that person is temporarily there. Even for the incumbent, is not going to be able to be enthusiastic to prove that they can be efficient because they are here, they are neither here nor there. But can we know, because we've spoken about this, remember when we first came as honorable members in this committee, we complained about program one, which is administration, not being audited. And the question we have with the auditor general is, if you don't audit your engine, what else, if we give you a billion, how do we know you will spend the billion if all the other amavilines are not there? But it also bites on the issue of cost in care. So that's what we want to know, is the cost now. Even if there's no time, you can tell us the total amount that gets used on issues of S&T, staying in hotels or in B&Bs, traveling allowance, all those things. Can you simply quantify it for us? Mamu Kanyele has got something.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm very much alarmed when you get a report that there was a candidate that was recommended, but they could not place that person because there was a case that was pending. They had to wait for the investigation, wait for that person to be convicted or whatever happens. So does it mean when a person has a case that is pending, we wait for them? Was that the only person that qualified for that position? When you interview a candidate, don't you have a ranking system that if candidate number one doesn't make it, then you take the next candidate? Because I'm looking at the report that is in front of us. The position in Limpopo has been vacant since 2014. We are in 2018. So if this is the person we are talking about, so does it mean if you are still going to court, we are still waiting for the court to finalize the matter for such a long time? Because in all these reports, I see this one, a shortlisting process in Eastern Cape. Amen. Since July 2017, you are in shortlisting process. We are in 2018 now, in March. It does not make sense. And I'm not going to go into this one by one, but we have a listing in front of us, but it does not make sense. Can you also get reasons as to why you did not fill these vacancies?
Abraham. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I concur with my colleague. I'm also concerned, is this position open for South Africans? Because it sounds like it's been earmarked for certain people. If you don't qualify, then you know, then it closes and so on. Having an open post since 2014 also it demoralizes the department when you're in an acting position for so long. You wonder sometimes why the staff don't perform if you have to be in an acting position and you don't qualify. And then why would you be acting in a position for so long and you're not qualified and competent knowing what you do? I don't say you must just put a person in a position, but why would the person be acting for 3 to 4 years? And it's costing the department a lot of money. We've got in front of us the S&Ps and all that, and, you know, vehicle hiring. And with all that money, you can purchase a new vehicle. So it's costing the department a lot of money. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can you show it here on the screen, if there is another information other than this one? Masha?
It's very disappointing, really. Maybe we really need to see the adverts so that we can see these extraordinary things that South Africans do not have. Because for a position to be in directors, they won't tell us that the whole South Africa didn't get the requisite skill, unless what they are looking for is extraordinarily changed. Maybe we really need to see the adverts, so that we can be able to see exactly what is happening. Because I have the same sentiment that Honorable Beverly is putting forward, that this, it seems as if these posts are earmarked for certain people. So if that person does not qualify, then you decide to re-advertise. Thank you, Chair.
But what is your position, Honorable you were yourself?
I'm acting as
well. You are acting as well. I don't buy your point when you say if you submit and then an organizational structure is not approved, you go and rest, because you should be getting a person for a particular period in order to have an effective functioning organization. Why we are caught in this dark is because there is no accountability. Because those people are merely there. Remember, you know, I wouldn't want this matter of taking a honorable members, especially when they are towards retiring. We are actually taking care of our integrity, because you don't want to bring home something that says you have been useless many years in this country. I'm saying this because we will also be found wanting, what is this oversight that we are doing? If we are running an organization, oversighting an organization that does not comply. Remember, if you bring your APPs, social development, but I think if you talk about APPs, that annual performance contract is attached to the contract of the incumbent, so that you don't even give that person a bonus if he actually does not meet the targets that were agreed in the annual performance contract. If now it is not there, the organizational structure is not there, who reports to who? Because the protocol is also about, I am a CEO and I'm expecting that the COO sits in me, and I'm expecting that the other branches are coordinated at a COO level, and therefore matters that come to the executive authority are already processed, the matters. You cannot expect to get a report from Canton, a report from PE, a report from Gwangwani. All these matters say we are in disarray. Now, honorable members, I don't think we need to continue interrogating this matter. It is not going to help us, but I'm going to allow them to answer. But I can assure you, honorable Kanyula, you will have no joy, because it is not going to translate into this having been done in any way. It's a matter and also will be to protect and will lament. There will be no tea.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, bringing another person will imply that you bring somebody on contract from outside. That's why you had to use people from within up until you review the structure. The structure, remember, if you review it, it can change. And therefore, filling in a position at that time when you anticipate the change of structure. And also,
because these posts that are going to be filled, this permanent post that is there for regional directors, you will need it any other way. It will be there in your structure. Let's be talking about something else. And there are posts that are there in your structure. And the second question will be, that's why you sit check. Because the second issue will be, we have been asking this department, the 18th DGCA, for a structure, for them to make sure that they bring a structure in this portfolio committee. That is the same. No, it can't be. There are posts that are there. And this post, most of them are posts that are there that you can't do otherwise without them. It's not like you'll sleep and next year they are not in the structure. The flashy, the okosekile, pakat kwamanzi, no. Those posts are there, Chair. Really, can we be taken serious here? We are very serious people here. We need to know the truth, Chair. Why are they not filled? So that the suspicions that we have as honorable members, the suke.
The worst part of this our journey in this matter is that we have never been provided with something that says we have a difficulty in providing this organized, because we would ask anyone, even DPSA, we can ask, why are you not ensuring that these people get what is due to them, the approval of their structure? What is it that cannot be corrected? Let me also raise the matter, social development, really, that when the employees in the union of Nehau were on strike, they did come to Parliament and give me their concerns and why they were on strike. They also included matters of this nature. But we did not take it up with yourselves because you were engaging with them. We only said we note your concerns. But as we speak, can you really say to us what makes somebody who is an executive manager somewhere, Uzoleka is an executive in East London, say in East London, then you take that Zoleka, you bring to the national. You then get someone else to act on Zoleka's position. So there are now two people acting. You know, the way I am really, really frustrated by how we operate as Parliament. You know, we were confronted only this weekend about issues of young people not employed, and everyone calling, I've got engineering, I've got this, I've got PhD, I'm a car washer. Yet, when you have an opportunity to appoint someone and say minus one during our lifetime, this is a huge headache, and I don't know how we are going to manage it. And I'm beginning to have a sense that at some stage, this looseness of a structure is created to do other things. You can, because if I'm a CEO, I must be appointed and know that I'm responsible for my omissions and my commissions. But if I'm acting, I don't know when you are going to say, after all, I don't have a contract with you. If you don't do this, go. You are really compromising the future of our own. Because if you are allowed to operate in this loose arrangement, you can't put your principles in place. I think this matter, I spoke with the acting CEO yesterday. She was in bed rape because she was not understanding why the court said she must also account why she didn't do. And I said to her, when we met in one hotel where we were going to be briefed by, you remember, Honorable Masango, when they were going to submit, I actually said to her, here in government, you can't say so-and-so said to me. It's always you. The decision you take is about you and actually going to be responsible for the whatever outcome that comes out there. She is really, really, she's really, really very, very emotional about it. Very emotional. Because she doesn't find a reason ukuthi yena sone nini ngoku ngoba befike ku elunkulungise zono naye wazama ulungisa. In the process of implementing where your line function is not being made clear to you, officials, you are going to be paying a lot. I can assure you. And people think that when we sit in these desks where we are voted by our people, we become so big, so proud, so wanting to punish those who are below us. We feel, and if you make a statement like Lumka does, when it comes to you, you just feel, oh, this young woman, this young South African is quickly destroying her integrity going forward. Because you can listen to the way he's responding to the people out there. And immediately, everyone was lantombazana, lampaz lowa. So it then becomes a turmoil for all of us. We don't want to chastise anyone. And when we are frustrated and we raise our voices, it is all about you having to do good work. I don't think we need to continue with this project. This one on the table. But Kanyile is still awaiting the answer yet. No, ma'am.
Che, you are right. I don't think we are going to have in answer to our honorable members. I don't think we are going to have answers on this one. But Che, I think what we did last time, we also need, when we come back, to meet with the regional directors, whether they are acting or not. And they must come with their own organogram in their own region. I can tell you, in fact, you will be surprised that you will find a cleaner also acting. This acting does not act here. It doesn't act here. Your middle managers in SASA, most of them are acting. Am I correct or not? They can answer here. There's a lot of acting chair in SASA. So that's why I'm saying, honorable members, I wish we can get all of them again here. They present what is the picture of what is happening in their own different provinces. Then, Chair, we are going to get something deeper than what we see. You can't have an organization that is stable when everybody are at task. It won't, Chair. We would never have SASA as being a stable organization because everybody is acting. So that's my proposal, Chair, to the committee and all honorable members, that this matter for now, can we then close it and perhaps get that information? Because even in provinces, people are acting in positions that are, your junior managers are acting, those that are below the junior managers are acting. I'm not lying, it might seem as a joke when I'm saying, you'll be surprised that you'll find a cleaner acting, a gardener acting, because it seems as if that's the norm. It seems as if, like, those suspicions will always have them because we are human and we do the oversight, that somebody has done it deliberately, that the organization should not be stable so that you can do anything that you want to do. Because once an organization is not stable, Nabanina went to right hand. But I'm very happy on the last point, Chair, that now they will see how serious is the court in South Africa. they will see how serious when the courts now are getting deeper to their pockets. Because the problem is they are using the public money, they use it the way they deem fit. Now that is getting to their pockets, I'm not sympathetic. Actually, Nandi Vuyekakhe, Tsunera Bonke are being responsible for the failure of this project, including the project manager, all of them. It's a pity because I'm a public office bearer. Otherwise, if I was not and be somebody, I was going to be the friend of the court to say, get deeper and add on this one. Go to all of them. As long as we're moving forward with this country, while we have people who do not respect the public purse. There are a lot of issues that are needs to be tackled in this country of service delivery chair. But because people do not have a respect of the public purse, they do as they wish. Thank you.
Can you please, I acknowledge you, Honorable Masang, but I think Makani, can you repeat your what is left so that she can respond? Because I also interfered by saying other things, and then I think they lost your question. Or you can please answer to her.
Yes.
Then Mama Sango, I acknowledge you after the response.
About the court case, the individual was recommended. It was not her who had a case against her. She had a case against the government. I think the cabinet felt that should be resolved first. All these posts, the appointments are done by cabinet. And I also want to bring to the attention of the committee to say, it's the competence of the political head to fill these posts. I think that's why sometimes it takes long, because she needs to determine the people to sit for shortlisting and determine the people to be in the panel for interviews. And the political head chairs
can cut that short. I can cut that short. At least one in my life, I was once an MEC. The work has to be done. It has nothing to do who does it. And in fact, the executive authority is the one who should be at the very high level ensuring you go about asking your other colleagues, please be available, please can we have, because you go there as clusters. Other ministers or MECs that have got clusters, if you are in a cluster arrangement, you go and ask that please put everything in danger. There's a crisis, I don't have an employment. So there is nothing, let me tell you, nothing that this parliament will not challenge, even if it's about the president. The president has to be effective. So you cannot want us to go and say, please, it was because it's the executive authority. So that's not an answer. No, that's cut it. I'm saying you're removing it from yourself, but in each meeting, you sit with the executive authority. When the executive authority has a meeting with the top management, those are the issues as to search how far have we gone. What do you evaluate when you are in a meeting? When you are in your own meeting, what is it that you evaluate? When you say the executive meeting is sitting, even before you go to the it's worse when the even the COO is not there. It's worse because no one is going to complain that I can't do my work because there is a meeting to actually think about annual performance contract. There's time when the executive authority sits to look into performance or contract and assess. How do you do that when all these people have no performance contract? Or maybe we must call for the performance contract for these years. Can you send Luma Mama?
Thank you, Chair. The reason why I wanted to say something, although I appreciate, Chair, that we cannot deal with this issue now, is that when we are going to be dealing with it, I would like to ask that some more information is included. Because one looks at, for example, the as just an example, the position in which the colleague that is presenting at the moment is on the podium, that she is acting in, has been open since 2009. Sure. Next year it will be 10 years, that position. Now, the question, what I would like covered in the information that we are going to be given is, what are the legal implications of this? If the person is acting for 9 years, what does that mean legally? And also,
Honourable Member, where do you get this latest data?
It's on this thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that because the question was asked earlier, which position is she in, and she said she was acting, so she's been acting for 9 years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But the position itself has been unfilled for 9 years. You have a very important position of COO that was never filled, ever. And it's COO. But I'm saying, when we do discuss this, my request is for us to have a legal thing that says, how are we faring, even as the oversight body, how are we faring legally as far as this whole thing is concerned? Because for me, it looks very damning. Even for the oversight part of this meeting. The other thing, Chair, this one thing alone, more than the other ones that we've been presented with, are the very reason that we are sitting where we are, talking about prioritizing SASA, because it looks like we actually have had an organization that has not been operating, that has not been functioning normally for a very, very long time. So we shouldn't be surprised to have had the hiccups that we've had for the number of years that we've had them, because we have just been operating, as someone calls it, as a shop, in fact, in SASA. So it strengthens, Chair, what you asked us to agree upon 2 meetings ago, where you said we need a full parliamentary inquiry into this whole thing. Because there seems to be more, each piece of paper that is put in front of us reveals more things. So it does mean that with the information that we are going to be provided in responding to the questions that we've asked already, we will need to be able to say to ourselves, what have we done to go ahead with that resolution that we made as members of this committee, to say we need a full parliamentary inquiry into this thing. Because there are so many things that are just revealed by this one piece of paper here that we've just been given now, just from a question that was asked in the last meeting. Thank you, Chair.
But can I clarify myself? Are you now fully employed?
Not chairperson in this position.
Oh, not
it's
in
still vacant. Yes.
Okay. So how long have you been acting on it?
2 years. 2.5 years.
So
it's ending end of this month.
And
for 2.5 years.
And where you were supposed to be operating, who is operating there?
There's no one.
There's no one.
Yeah. CFO is responsible.
Okay. All right. Can you roughly quantify to us the total amount, Mr. CFO? Don't ask, it's not going to help us if you go person by person. How you can help us is by saying to us the cost that has to do with acting, all the privileges that are open in that are amounting to this amount now. Just to know that. Then we will go and have a planning session with the honorable members and see. Because we have a duty to represent our people, we have a duty to ensure that right things are done in government, and lastly, we have a duty to oversight that your vision, your mission to operate a perfect and effective professional vehicle SASA to pay for our people. So we are going to assist you do that. And I think we are capable of doing that.
Are you raising your hand up?
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just before the CFO responds, For my own interest, I'd just like to know, most of these posts are contract posts. And seeing this 2009, that means it's been 5 years and 5 years and so on. I just want to know, is it a permanent post or is it a contracted post for 5 years? Because, okay, yes, she's responding. Yes. Yes, because to be acting from 2009 is a long time. That's two parliament legislative terms. And normally, you know, these, if it's extended, we understand. Yeah. If you can just explain if it's permanent or if it is contracted for 5 years. Thank you.
Chair, while you are whispering there, I think on the rider on the question of the honourable member, there is a legislation in this country. Maybe the lawyer is there should ask to us. There is a legislation that talks about contracts, I think, for more than a year. If we have been in a position and acting for more than a year and so on, can we be clarified? Because I feel that this is wrong. You can't do this to people. You can't bring uncertainty to a person. Because by doing that, you can't let a person to act for a long time while the person will not know what's going to happen in future. And we are saying we are a caring government that wants to give jobs that are sustainable, that people can keep for a long time, but at the same time, we are creating that to our own people. Thank you, Chair.
I think I have done the acting, but I think what I did not do separately was only to extract what would have been the traveling only related to as a benefit. So what has happened is that for the acting itself, which is the acting allowances, it's about 3 million, which is the salaries themselves. So this is what we have paid. And for the traveling chair, it also includes the normal doing the work. So if I'm appointed as an executive, I'll still do that at 4.5 million.
I'm confusing you. Maybe to be more clear, let's take the amount for staying in a hotel. Because I know that when you are employed, government is supposed to keep you in an accommodation plus minus 3 months, so that thereafter you can find your own accommodation. But if you are acting, in Cape Town, you belong to East, you come from KZN, or you are acting in Bloemfontein, you come from Eastern Cape, you are bound to be paid for your accommodation. That's the total amount, roughly. Maybe you say these 2 years. That's roughly. We're not going to pin you down on that. It's a rough estimation of how much we lose.
Okay. I think for accommodation, we spend about 4 million for all the people in terms of the accommodating them over since the position became vacant. Let me say so. That's the amount that we spent in for all the movements that have happened and the settlement that has happened and the acting. But where the acting happened in the same region where you find that you are in Free State and you appoint the person in Free State, you will not have incurred any accommodation, any other additional expenses except the salary only. That will have been the adjustment. But where we have taken one person from one region or from head office or from a region to come to head office, I think that's where the expenditure is. So for accommodation, we spend 4 million in relation to that.
So you have been striving to place people to where they might have.
Umatetuka came actually from Free State, was a REM in Free State. We seconded him to Western Cape and we permanently moved him to Western Cape.
Ustava
was a KZN, was asked to go and assist in Gauteng, and from there was asked to go and assist in Free State. That's where she is now.
So
for that period, then Uzowa actually hoteling, because at that particular point, you find that the acting appointment that would have been arranged is for 6 months. Uzowa has been acting. She's still in a hotel. What we've done, we tried to procure. What has been more of a challenge, Chair, and I just need to put it to you, is that when the acting arrangements were made, it was not made for a long term. It was made actually for a short term. So if you made an acting arrangement for a short term of 6 months, you're not going to get actually a permanent accommodation, because those that offer the accommodation for leases, they want a longer period than that. So, but at the end of 6 months, you find that there's an extension over an extension. Only now that we have been able to get Uzodo to until 2019. What we did, I went out actually early January, actually finding an accommodation. What we could find is that, look, it comes with a range of between 20 and 30,000. That's what we're looking at now in terms of that, excluding really the cleaning services and other things. Because what we needed to do was, if you move a person to a permanent accommodation, you will need a furnished accommodation. And it was very scarce, actually, to get a furnished accommodation with all those arrangements. But what we're looking at now,
No, let's leave it that, because we have not accused you of any wrongdoing. We were still establishing facts. But I do know that in one of my duties, works that I did, I was an executive mayor of Umtata District Municipality, coming from the Bundus, Flagstaff. And I stayed in a hotel in a B&B for a year, because that municipality didn't have housing for mayors, and a district mayor cannot come from a local municipality. It's not bound to be from town. So I was from rural areas, and I was saying it was just like my home. Now, because Longele Kitchini, the home for the Ahamba, and so on, it was a B&B. I can be surprised by Kukumdonga, 36 months, a hotel. The hotel is always going to go loon. So, Mandi, here, Kelendo, this is a weird challenge fantasy, because the objective here, it must never happen again. This thing must never happen again. It can't be. And running away from where I used to stay in a B&B, I decided to buy a guest house for the municipality, so that when he employs a manager, the manager stay in our guest house. When we have a visitor coming from anywhere, that person goes to our porch guest house, so that we don't have to take money and give it to hoteliers for the work to be done. I think there's no money. I'm told there's no money. Utweli lizwali na mali li bankrupt. But the little we have, usasa le mali yokuhlalisa abantu ishathaphi, because kwasasa lo ube nikwe imali yokondla abantu abahluphekileyo. Na uthatha imali yokondla abantu ulalisa ngayo abantu ehotel, ikhona ingxaki. Masiyivaleni. Can I request members that yes, honorable member?
Ikhona le nto ibalulekileyo, ndive esithi they've procured a permanent place for Zodwa up until 2019. I thought Zodwa was only for the project. Le iyaphela mosi project ngoku. Usahlaleli intoni yotsho 2019?
Angaziphendulela, uyayivalela ngwethu yakho.
Okay, Chair. Thank you very much. I think I'm not saying that the accommodation is actual until 2019. But what we said, the acting appointment was responsible for the change management. You remember that there was work that was done in terms of the recommendation of the work teams, which is the direction that SASA was taking in terms of the insourcing of the payment. So when you look in terms of the timeline, really pointed that probably would have done more work actually by January 2019. So the acting appointment was actually aligned just to that kind of a project delivery date. And if you look at now, when you have to deal with the issues of the card swap and everything, which now we're saying will have concluded it probably by September 2018, in terms of the 6 months extension. So that was what we thought at that particular time. But now, because we have got the minister, we have had an engagement brief. I had a brief engagement with the minister. And the minister actually is looking to the issues that the portfolio committee is raising. Because before we came here, I had to have a bilateral just discussion, brief discussion about it. And she said, well, she has already requested that all the documents relating to this come for her office for consideration. I believe that when she comes to really brief the committee, she will be able to tell of the direction that office is taking. And I think Chair, I agree that we can close it at that level. At this level.
I need you need to take a bilateral with the minister on that one. It needs a very serious bilateral to as you as a chair, so that in the next meeting we are reported on that matter. Because remember, if it is the matters arising, there was a question that we asked for: what happened to the SASA? The SASA executive, because SASA has got executives that are more senior than Zodwa. Okay, yeah, I can't only work 3 months. I said, "Ben, go buy seven bank." You pay me.
Zodwa is an executive, Honorable Chair, responsible for Northwest region.
I'm not sure if I'm going to help you, but you've just actually recycled. When you mentioned the word recycled, in one of the reports I've read, that it was one of my questions actually in a response to it, that the consequence management, so pardon me for going there, but you've just now triggered me with the recycling, where if you don't, the consequence management is not adhered to, then the consequence manager, what happens to that person, because somebody's got to monitor. And now on the recycling part is, the response from the department states that the manager can then escalate to the last level of termination of grounds of poor performance, and noting that specific procedures must be followed, an option also exists to have the official transfer to another section, which in our terms you just mentioned, our recycling. Now again, if you're not good enough in the one position, how do they recycle you into another position? And then we hear the department talking about PDMS. It seems these things are just words we see. It's not taking place. Because if there was performance management, then we wouldn't have been struggling to find a person in South Africa to do all these acting positions and fill them. Thank you.
I'm going to go to the hospital.